Session number 12248, Mr. J. Forster, reel 14.
Mr. J. Foster, reel 14. So your parents must have been quite concerned and worried and tremendously relieved than when you got home.
Yeah, well, they were more worried in that period of time from receiving where I was posted missing and then getting the next one to say that I was in hospital. That period of time was where the worry was. They didn't know where I was, whether I was killed or prisoner or what. You see, I was just missing. And then when I got the card saying I was in hospital with thigh and leg wounds, they knew I was alive then. Knew I was alive, and that was a grand thing. Yeah.
Did you have experiences of people coming up to you in the street kind of thing and saying, were you with our so-and-so, or did you see our so-and-so?
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Some of them had been killed.
Yeah. Aye.
Did they ask you how they died, or?
No, well, I kept up that subject. I didn't like many times I could have told them how that died and such like, but I always used to, I couldn't stand that the parents breaking down, you know, all like that. And I always used to say, oh, now when did I see him last? I saw him at so and so, you know. You see, and then that's when they tell us something that happened to them. That's it. I let them put the onus on them, not on me. I knew it had happened, but I didn't like to tell them, you know, because I didn't like the emotion at times. Oh, no, I didn't. So I always used to say, well, last time I saw him was at such and such.
You'd have Christmas at home, did you?
Yeah.
New Year?
Yeah.
And then what date or time did you come back to the battalion?
I nearly have a fortnight's holiday, a fortnight's leave, you know, and we came back, where did we go to? When we came back at Christmas, there were that many places in England. I think that's a thing I forget now, where we collected up at when we came off leave. But I know we went over to Lowestoft, Great Yarmouth. And then we were only there a short time, and we went down to around Maiden Newton in Cornwall. Where's Maiden Newton at?
Devon?
Devon. And from there, we went to we came back over to Thetford and around that area. And was Thetford, and that was when it was getting near D-Day then.
Had you been upgraded at this time?
Oh yes. I got upgraded when I come home, I have to leave. I was still B until I went back after leave, yes, and I got upgraded after leave, yeah.
And what was your job now?
CO's driver, still CO's driver, yeah.
And who was your CO?
Somebody called Green, and he come from Harrogate. He took over, Green. and from Polly Watson. Because the second command brought us home to England, you see. And then when we had been on leave and came back again and formed up as a battalion waiting for reinforcements and that, we got this new CO from Harrogate Green, they called him.
What was the battalion task of? What were you doing? Training for D-Day, training for Europe now.
Training for Europe when we come home. Yeah, training for Europe, yes, yeah.
Did you find it difficult settling down from the kind of wide open spaces of the desert to England and, of course, to a training in effect for what was going to be a different kind of war?
Oh, you did. You did find the difference in the... Well, you found a big difference in every aspect, you know. You found the difference of the expanse. You couldn't see the wide expanse, you saw. You know, the fields were green instead of the sun shining all day on the sand, which, you know, used to blind you. And the rations were good. You had plenty of water to wash any time you wanted to, anything like that. You know, and the weather wasn't red hot. You were more cold than what you were hot.
Was discipline changing back to pre-desert days?
Oh, yeah. It did. Gently, gently, gently. And then, you see, the when we were training, for the continent, we didn't know where we were. We knew eventually we didn't know. And when we came back over to Thetford, you know, the woods, there's a lot of woods there in Thetford, and there's big army training boys and such like. And we saw all these wagons and tanks and things in the woods, and that, you know, they were parked in the woods, so they had a place. We thought there's something on here. It won't be long. Anyway, we start training through these woods and these hedges. And the officer told us that we would need this training in the near future, because where we were going was all hedges and sunken roads and that, you know. So I thought, oh, that's France.
So your training had altered.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of the criticisms made of you, was that the fact that you found it difficult to fight in Europe the way you had in the desert. But do you feel that's a fair comment, a fair criticism?
Oh, what you call it did. I mean, the whole army did, more or less. You see, where for the infantryman, it was... you hadn't, you could see the jetties coming out in the desert and such like, you know, but you couldn't over there, because it was all fields and hedges and such like. And that's where the difference of the fighting was. Instead of being fighting open spaced, you were fighting enclosed.
Do you feel that you were adequately prepared for that when you went into the invasion situation?
Oh, I think so. Because you were fighting more or less on your own kind of land where you're brought up and lived in. You see, when you went in the desert, it was entirely foreign to you. You had to learn something new. But when you come back into England, there, and you were fighting, it was something born of you. These little hedges and roads and such like, you know. But, as you say, the fighting wasn't the same. It was harder in this here than what it was in the desert. Is that in the desert, the tanks could manoeuvre. Tanks. It was worse for the tanks in Europe than what it was in the desert. But because in the desert you couldn't hide an anti-tank gun without somebody seeing it. But here, I mean, they could be hit anywhere in Europe, you know, and the tanks had no scope to manoeuvre. It was harder for the tanks than what it was for the infantry.
In your training at Thetford and of course previous to that, did you come across troops of other nations? Were you training with these?
No, we never hit any other. The nearest, I think the nearest would be the Free French, what we ever came in contact with. 3 pence. Because I can't remember being on any manoeuvres with other troops of other nations. Can't. You see, it was where they were stationed, more or less, you know. There'd be English troops and French troops and Polish and that. They'd be on manoeuvres together. Anyway, but they'd be maybe in a different part of the country. You see, a lot of Poles were up in Scotland, where we were right down at the bottom of England, right in Cornwall. Not really.
What was your task? What were you doing at this time?
I was on the commanding officer's driver then. I was driving the commanding officer around. The whole battalion, the battalion commanding officer. You see, that's the job I took over when they left me at, when I was B, registration. And I continued that on all the way through after that. Yes, I was driving him. I used to either drive him in the Jeep or drive him in the staff car, wherever he, whatever was on. You know, manoeuvres would be the Jeep. And if he went to headquarters or conferences, it would be the staff car. Yeah. So that's all I did all day.
Did you still have the rank of Lance Corporal?
Yeah, oh, aye, yeah. Yeah, then I got made up to corporal after that, you know. Over here. Aye.
What other outstanding memories have you got of the training period prior to D-Day?
Training? Oh, at... down at Lynmouth, in Mainhead. When we left... Thetford, we went back down to... Cornwall, down there, Devon, Mid Newton. Then we used to go right down to Minehead on manoeuvres for about 4 or 5 days, you know, and go through the woods there. Well, steep woods, you know, and you had to follow, manoeuvre your wagons and such like just along these narrow paths through the woods. No lights on or anything. All you had was a spotlight on the fella's differential in front of you, and you had to follow that. Well, that was all for training in France, you see, in these narrow roads and that. That was all the training, dangerous roads. And, there's been some wagons slipped off the road there and went down the side, but they couldn't go very far because when they slipped off, the trees were growing up, you know, and the trees held them. We lost one or two wagons there, but eventually we brought out. You know. But that was all training for night driving on the continent. Yeah.
Were there any new weapons being introduced to the battalion?
No, just non-new, just the, I think the Sten come out then, a Sten gun. I think, what was it after it come out? I forget now. The Sten and the... 6 pound had come out then, 6 pound anti tank. Because you know, we had never had a 6 pound, it was always 2 pounders, that's what we had, that's it, 2 pounders. You know.
Did you like the Sten? Was it an efficient weapon?
It was efficient, but it was a bad one, it was a dangerous one.
In what way?
Well, if you went to put it down on his butt, you know, it can go off. It can go off and shoot your eye, it was very dangerous that way, very slightly. Well, you had to be very careful with the Sten if you put it down. You know, the catch on, otherwise it could, many ones gone off, many ones been injured up the side, you know.
After being on leave and then spending some months training in various parts of the country, were you being given leave during this period of time as well?
We got the leave at Christmas when we come home, and then after that, we got embarkation leave, for going abroad. And in between that, there was odd times if you'd get a 48-hour pass. But you see, they made sure that we were right at the bottom of the country, and you couldn't get home on a 48-hour pass. That's why that was the army's game, was that. See, anybody from down south would be posted right up north. And from north, right down south, so they couldn't get home. So what we used to do, maybe spend 48 hours in the nearest place, you know, Exeter or Bristol or somewhere like that.
Did you come into contact much with the local people?
Oh, yeah.
Being well received?
Oh, the Durham's was well received wherever they went. Oh, aye. Well received wherever they went. Yeah. Even when, just before D-Day, we were stationed out side of Southampton. A place called Shuri Woods. It was one very far off where Mountbatten lives, where used to live. Lord Mountbatten, not Ringwood, forget his house now, Lord Mountbatten, because sometimes some of the lads used to go down to his place, yeah, look around and that, and sometimes they would go down if they were off in the afternoon. They'd get permission to go down, and they'd have tea on the lawn. They used to bring tea out and give them tea, you know, just a cup of tea and a biscuit. Yeah. But they used to go down there.
Did you get much leisure time?
Not to... In camp, you mean? In camp.
Camp and out of camp.
Oh, well, you hadn't much leisure time out of camp. Because we were going right round till 6 o'clock at night. But in camp, there wasn't much leisure time in camp because there was nothing in camp for you. Just a nappy. If you're lucky if you got a nappy in, that'd be a big camp for a nappy to be in, you know.
Was there much sport? Were you getting any sport?
Oh, you made the sport up among yourself, your football team, cricket team. If you were stationed for any length of time one place, you'd have games arranged with other units in the area, you know, football, cricket. Yeah. But as time drew near for the invasion, you were locked up then in camps, you weren't allowed out.
How did the men take to this being locked up?
Oh, they didn't like it at all. Oh, we didn't like it at all. Oh, I mean, we were locked up at Shuri camps, and instead of having British guards on, we had Americans patrolling outside the wire. Well, that upset them. If there had been British guards, I think they might have, you know, not get, but when the Americans were walking by, God knows, they didn't like that.
It'll give you a feeling of being locked away.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you couldn't get out. I was the only one who could get out with the command officer. Yeah.